This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here at VSiN, for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match that public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage, though. This is a limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 weeks of access to VSiN's betting splits. Back here at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm with you as we get into a little more NBA postseason conversation as the play-in rolls on tonight with a pair of elimination games in the Eastern and Western Conferences. The 8 seeds on the line, joining us to talk it all over on the Progressive Guest Line. Noops Christensen, NBA analyst for FTN Bets, FTN Network. Hoops with Noops is top-tier branding, by the way. Well done, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I got really lucky that my nickname happened to rhyme with Hoops. I assure you that was not intentional. It's always better to be lucky than good.
There we go. That is one of my favorite quotes of all time as well. I am right there with you. And let's hopefully get lucky with a couple of the games that we have on tap coming up tonight. What is your favorite bet of the two play-in games this evening?
I think that's the night game I like the most here. The Sacramento Kings, just 1-point favorites against the New Orleans Pelicans team that we know is missing Zion, that we saw bench Brandon Ingram the other night. We saw how limited CJ McCollum looks at this point. It's a team that, again, maybe I'm selling a little too low on them, basically, by taking the Kings here, but I like Sacramento. I had them as 3-point favorites here before even adjusting for Ingram not playing as well, McCollum not playing as well. I think top to bottom, Sacramento's the better team tonight. They match up well with New Orleans again. Sacramento's only real problem with the Pelicans this year was facing Zion. They don't have to deal with that tonight. It's what they're basically looking at is a team that now sets up similarly to them in terms of matchups. It just isn't quite as good. So I like the Kings. I was able to get up -1. -1.5 is perfectly fine. Really anything -2 or better looks good to me.
Let's look ahead and assume that the Kings can get it done on the road tonight, Noops. Going ahead into an 8-1 series against Oklahoma City, what kind of a price would you need to look at taking the Kings to pull the upset or perhaps a game handicap?
It would have to be a pretty big number. Oklahoma City, again, the way I just described how the Kings are similar to what the Pelicans look like now, Oklahoma City is just honestly a better version of what Sacramento is here. They're deeper. They have the best player. They have the coach. You know, to bet somebody like the Kings, we'd have to get a number probably in the plus 500, plus 600 range, you know, maybe even bigger than that. So everything to me screams Thunder, and I'll probably honestly find a way to back them, you know, -1.5 games, -2.5 games. If we can get a -2.5 game price, you know, similar to what we see in the Denver series, right around plus 130, plus 140. I think that's going to be a really nice bet.
So we talk about the lack of availability for Zion Williamson. Also, in that first game of the day, Bulls Heat, no Jimmy Butler, unfortunately, yet Miami still favored by 1.5. The total in that one, 206. Where do you lean there?
I like the over here. I know that it's tough. You know, Jimmy Butler's out. That should mean less scoring, but it really doesn't for Miami. I think that the market here is failing to understand how the style of this game is going to change. Without Butler on the floor, Miami generally pushes pace. We're going to see a lot more Tyler Hero tonight. And we did see some of that the other night against Philadelphia. They were trying to get up and down the court. We saw how well that zone defense, which really, people, it's just a press. It is a zone defense, but what is really tough about it is they come out to half court base, basically start trapping guys really high, and you saw the amount of turnovers they were able to generate. That's great for scoring. We have extra possessions. That's great for the pace. Again, all that stuff really helps the over here. Should be a fun matchup. The Bulls have been a pretty good scoring team the last couple of weeks. A lot of people tend to think of Chicago as more of a defensive unit. That's not the case this year. So the total right now sitting, I believe, at 206, 206 and a half. I have it just over 210. So anything 207 and a half or lower looks good to me.
Noobs, I was talking to Stormy earlier in the show about there are 3 lower-seeded teams that are favored in these series in the first round in the NBA. I don't remember when I've ever seen that. Of the 3 that are dogs that are higher-seeded, Minnesota, Milwaukee, and the LA Clippers, which one is most likely to pull the upset?
I probably have to lean towards the Clippers, but it's pretty close. For me, it's the Clippers or the Timberwolves. You know, I kind of have to write off Milwaukee. It sounds like we're not going to have Giannis game one. I'd be surprised if he plays game two, and if he does, he won't be 100% healthy. We know what Glenn Rivers does in the postseason. He is not a dynamic adjuster. He is not the guy you want trying to deal with the mess they have in Milwaukee. So I actually like the Pacers quite a bit there. Minnesota, I think, has a chance to beat Phoenix, but it's just a really bad matchup for Minnesota. They're a really good defensive team. The Suns still have guys that can score one-on-one and just enough defense to keep Minnesota from scoring. But if the Clippers can get Kawhi Leonard back by the second game healthy, it sounds like there's a chance he plays game one. I expect him to be back for game two. Things can get really interesting. We saw the peak potential of that Clippers team for about 2 months during the middle of the year. They match up fairly well against the Mavericks again when they're healthy. They've got a couple wing guys to throw at Luka and Kyrie. Again, I think all three are losers, but if I have to pick one, I think the Clippers have the best chance of that bunch.
NBA analyst at FTN Bets, Nukes Christensen, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In addition to, you know, betting these series prices, you can go game by game, you can bet exact results. You're looking at a series spread in the Nuggets and Lakers. Why do you feel so confident laying 2.5 games with the defending champion Nuggets?
There's a lot of recorded audio and video of me telling people the Nuggets are going to win the championship. I'll say it again. The Nuggets are going to win the championship. They are the best team in the league. They have the best player. When Jamal Murray is healthy, and he is, they have the best two-man game, basically, in the NBA. This Lakers team takes advantage of opponents by being bigger. They use their size, their physicality. You're not going to bother the Nuggets. No one's bigger than the Nuggets, maybe the Timberwolves. But again, everything that the Lakers do to try to attack opponents, Denver is set up to go against. The Nuggets have home court advantage. That's really huge. They've beaten the Lakers, I believe, at 7 or 8 times in a row here, including the playoffs last year. I think we're looking at another either sweep or gentleman sweep, they call it. Give me the Nuggets in 5 games or less.
A 4-5 matchup in the East features the Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. Only a game separated them in the standings. It's 2, 3, 4, 5 were all, and 6 were all very closely contested this year. Why are the Magic such a big dog against Cleveland? And you'll explain that, why you like them in the series.
Yeah, it's one of those series that reminds me why betting is so great, because we don't have to watch these games. We can just wait and see what kind of the results are. These are going to be really ugly basketball games. To me, this series is going to look a lot like Cleveland and New York from last year. We saw games in the 80s and 90s, just really, really messy basketball. Cleveland getting a lot of credit for what their peak potential is. I think if you go back and look for the year when all four of those guys are healthy, the four being Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and Evan Mobley, they were pretty good for certain stretches. They didn't get to play together a lot. And over the last month, it appears the defenses have figured out how to adjust for having both Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the floor together. That puts two big guys on the floor that are not particularly great shooters. It really messes up the spacing and makes things harder for Donovan Mitchell, who, again, is not 100% here. He's been dealing with a knee injury for the last month. Darius Garland just doesn't look right. I'm not sure what's going on with him. So I've got a team in Cleveland that basically seems like they're on a downward trend here, going up against an Orlando team that, yes, is very young, that, yes, does not have a guard as good as Donovan Mitchell, but they've got Jalen Suggs, who is going to give Mitchell fits. They've got Paolo Banchero, who I think is one of those next guys to become a regular all-star, to push his way into that 10, 15 best players in the NBA conversation, and they have the best defense in the NBA since the all-star break. I think the Magic are going to be able to make life miserable for the Cavaliers, find just enough points themselves to eke out these games. I played them +165, and as I like to do with underdogs, because underdogs get to host game 6. Give me the Magic -1.5 games in the series +275. That basically means they have to close it out in game 6 or better. It's always hard for those teams to go on the road basically to close out in 7. So give me the Magic to win the series straight up. That's a nice number. And then -1.5 games as well.
Noops, big picture in the Eastern Conference, obviously the Boston Celtics are a big favorite there. You look at the Giannis Antetokounmpo injury with Milwaukee. The 76ers are favored in their initial series here with the Knicks, but Joel Embiid coming back from injury, he's not himself. He's not in great shape. Who do you think is the biggest competition for Boston in the East?
I think it's whoever wins that Philadelphia 76ers, New York Knicks series. Both of those teams present challenges for Boston. You know, Philadelphia, obviously, Joel Embiid. There is not really anybody who can guard Joel Embiid. The Celtics are not particularly well equipped to do that, as good as Porzingis is. But Embiid, it will probably be the best player in that series. And again, playoffs generally come down to who's the best coach, who's the best star, and then kind of you go downward from there. The Sixers, again, you've got Nick Nurse, one of the best coaches in the league. You've got Embiid, a great star player. For the Knicks, you've got a great coach in Tom Thibodeau, a guy in Jalen Brunson who could be a star. And again, the Knicks really deep. They match up well. So I think whoever comes out of that series is going to be the biggest challenge to Boston.
Noops, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, guys. Best of luck till we talk again.
Thank you.
Back at you. Great stuff there. Follow him on X at _Noops. Again, doing great work over there at FTN Bets. Noops Christensen, his favorite plays, Bulls Heat over 206. I see a 205.5 out there right now as well. Taking the Kings tonight as well. And then in the series, the Magic to beat the Cavaliers, and the Nuggets laying 2.5 games against the Lakers. That one, how competitive do you think that the Lakers will be in that series?
Well, they'll always put on. The NBA needs the Lakers to put on a good show.
Well, even though
is no good.
Even though they did get swept last year, like, the games were good.
They were.
So we'll see what they're able to do. We're going to hit the break here when we come back to a little NFL draft conversation. This time next week, we will already know the results of the first round. We'll keep getting into it.
Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSIN. New customers that do can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Again, the play-in rolling on tonight with 8 seeds on the line in the Eastern and Western Conference. The Bulls getting 1.5 against the Miami Heat. Kings and Pelicans, 1-point spread there, total to 10.5. So that'll be fun tonight to finally have that playoff picture cemented. This time next week, we will have the first round cemented. We will have all of our questions answered as it pertains to who's going where in the first round. But as of right now, we're just asking those questions to head coaches and GMs in press conferences, apparently. And Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos, was asked right off the top of his presser yesterday about what they plan to do in the draft and their needs at quarterback. Take a listen.
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
You don't want to do, Mike, is force it. And, otherwise we'll be in this position next year and the years after. So you want to get the right player at 12. Our first pick, we got to hit on, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a tackle, receiver, you name it. We need to get an impact player.
That second voice you heard there, general manager of the Broncos, George Patton. I too would like to get my hands on one of those tip sheets, though, Mike. That'd be great.
I didn't know they existed other than at the racetrack. It's tip sheets. Who will be available at 12? It's interesting. I mean, you would think McCarthy's going to be off the board, right? The four would be off the board. Could Penix have fallen to 12, depending on the medical reports? Would they be able to get Penix? Would other teams ahead of them think about getting Penix if he's not available there? They do have teams, at 7, 8, 9, 10, kind of in front of them that are looking defensive on the defensive side of the ball. So maybe they would be there. I would be more offended if they took Knicks at 12 than you're offended if McCarthy went third. I'll just tell you that.
No, I'm with you. I do not understand the argument for Bo Nix to be a first round quarterback. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix, we've talked about this because you said, I believe yesterday, that Michael Penix is your number three quarterback right now, regardless of medical.
Yes.
I said, had he not had the medical issues, he might be my number two, just in general. And it's hard to separate that because when you've had two ACL injuries and you've had two shoulder injuries, it's hard to know or expect what you're going to get from that player in the long term from a health standpoint. But he has stayed healthy the last 2 years at Washington. He has shown that he can get through a full long season, making it all the way to a national championship last year. So I love Michael Penix. I hope that he gets an opportunity to be a first round pick, not only because I like the guy, because I bet it as well. I did bet him under 32 and a half for his position.
Yeah, I know there's that market available before Knicks, but you'd have to lay a higher price than you did for first round. Mm-hmm. But I do like that bet.
You guys have that matchup, that head-to-head, right?
It's 280 or something like that. It's a pretty hefty favorite for and if you love Knicks, I guess, and you think that there's some medical issues and that you think Denver would take him at 12, I guess maybe it's worth a shot. I think it's plus 240 or plus 235 to take Knicks in that spot. But I don't see it. And to your point, he played a long, grueling season. He played as many games as you could, right? And he played in bad weather in the Pac-12, cold, freezing rain at Oregon State was awful. The game against Washington State was awful. He beat Oregon twice as an underdog,
but right? It's like, what more can he do
What more can he do? Right, exactly. So, and I look forward to actually watching him play in the NFL. I hope he's healthy because I think he will create a lot of excitement. You talk about a beautiful deep ball. His poise on third down. I mean, I love the kid. And I mean, we saw it when he was in Indiana, what he did for that dormant team in the COVID year. So, I don't know where they would go. I mean, if Nix was available in the second round to them, would he take him? I don't know what Peyton is really looking for. It's hard for me to tell what he's looking for, right? Because you can narrow his career. Like, what do you say, typecasting an actor? They played one role and that's all you know them as? I mean, we know him as Drew Brees, really, right? That's what we know him as. And he did such a great job. But what else can he do and what type of quarterback does he want? But, I mean, certainly you'd think they were drafting with somebody that's going to be ready to go this year.
Sean Payton's still just kicking himself that he didn't get Patrick Mahomes that 1 year. Broncos are plus 115 to take a quarterback. D-line edge plus 230, corner plus 350, O-line plus 750. Bo Nix in his team to be drafted by odds. Broncos are minus 175. Penix, as far as his odds go with the Broncos, plus 550. They're the fourth potential team on the odds board of which team will draft Michael Penix. The Raiders are a plus 260 favorite, followed by the Vikings and Seattle Seahawks there. I'm curious with the Broncos if trading up is in play. If there's somebody that they like, if it was a J.J. McCarthy, for example, that they were very interested in, would they try to leapfrog or would that be too expensive, too pricey for them to do? You just know, given what they had and still paying Russell Wilson $80+ million, that they need to get a quarterback and somebody that they won't have to pay much money to on a rookie deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think with Peyton, they might want to do that. I mean, obviously, you've got one of the great play callers. You're going to want a quarterback that's versatile enough to take advantage of it. Well, remember those years in New Orleans, too. They ran the ball extremely effectively as well and were balanced. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking the Vikings are a likely candidate to try to move up to New England's spot. I think they're the most likely team that would do something with New England to try to get and maybe they're okay with going either May or Daniels. Maybe it's one or the other, and they would make the deal if the one is still available. But what do they have? I mean, they're still in the position you would think the Vikings are to be a playoff team. Division got a heck of a lot tougher than it was a year ago, right? I mean, all of a sudden, like, all the teams could be viable depending on who the Vikings have as a quarterback. But certainly you're looking at Green Bay, who was terrific the back half of the year and probably should have won in San Francisco. The Lions had a 17-point lead in the second half of the NFC Championship game. The Bears had the best rush defense in football. They're going to add the number one pick and the number nine pick. And then here you have the Vikings.
I think whichever quarterback goes to the Vikings, that'll be the best situation for a rookie quarterback coming out of this class, because you do think about the weapons that they have. Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Jordan Addison, who played really well when Jefferson was injured. TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler, even a great play caller in Kevin O'Connell. And an opportunity, if need be, to sit because he signed Sam Darnold on a 1 year deal. So I think that the Vikings have potential. But then again, I like the Vikings over their season win total last year, and that crashed and burned despite having they had 7 wins at what point in the season, and then they just could not get 2 more.
They probably should have won the game in Cincinnati. They had winnable games down. And then the one they put the one kid in at quarterback in a home game. It was terrible. And they had a ton of chances to go over your total. And remember, it was 5 less. They say you got to win 5 less games to go under. Remember from the year before? How does that happen?
Words cannot describe how frustrated I was the way that played out. I'm pulling up their schedule right now. They were 6-4 through week 10, 7-6 through week 14, lose 4 straight the rest of the way.
Tough.
Like, they lose 6 of their last 7 games and make me want to kill myself, but neither here nor there. The Giants are having buyer's remorse, just like I was on that bet, apparently, about Daniel Jones, according to reports coming out of the NFL Combine. But GM Joe Shane met with media yesterday. He said he expects and believes Daniel Jones to be ready to go, day one starter this year, and said that they're taking some calls at number 6 as well about that pick. But there's been a lot of speculation they might try to take a quarterback early.
Well, what's Tyrod's status? Is he still there? Is he gone somewhere else?
Isn't he on the Jets?
Is he there now? I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, Jets. He's behind Rodgers.
He was their best starter last year. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. He gave them the best chance to win more than Daniel Jones did. Yeah, the Italian kid's not the long term.
Tommy DeVito. Cutlets, baby.
He got his 15 minutes. That's terrific. But obviously they've got it. Don't you think that's a huge need for them? They made a mistake. Michael tried to tell them.
Everyone tried to tell them. Who are you competing with to pay this guy? He had one good year. And it wasn't even like it was a great year. It was a good year. Everything else in the sample size with Daniel Jones has showed you that he is not a good quarterback. He is an injury-prone quarterback. Neck injuries. Numerous neck injuries. ACL tear now. Like, he can't stay healthy and he's not good. What are we doing?
Would they try to move up to get somebody? Would they try to do a deal with New England?
He said he's been getting calls. Didn't say about that trading up or trading down.
I'm assuming it's to go down, to go down. Somebody wants to get a quarterback at 6.
Do you think, like, they said that they're not opposed to it if they fall in love with one of these guys? But is that
wouldn't they already be in love? Wouldn't they already be? There's how much so more many, do they need to know?
There's so many quarterback needy teams that are fighting for these 4 guys that 3 of them, you know, are going to be busts. It's just crazy.
Can 2 of them be good?
I guess, hypothetically. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Reset an hour or two in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like the Lombardi Line, you'll love the GM Shuffle. Hear our guy, Michael Lombardi, give his unfiltered opinion on players, teams, and coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday each week throughout the year alongside our guy, Femi Abebefe. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast. Same thing with this show, by the way. Whenever we are done, you can find it in downloadable form wherever you get your podcasts. Alongside Mike Palm, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And let's get a little hockey talk in here as we welcome in Nick Alberga, host and director of Leafs Morning Take, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Speaking of podcasts, download that as well. Become a subscriber. Follow him at The Golden Muzzy on X. All right, Nick, we know the playoff picture. It is set. What are maybe some of your just biggest surprises right off the top, or matchups you love, matchups you can't stand?
Guys, great to be with you. Exhilarating time in the hockey world for sure. There's so many different intriguing lineups and matchups, and I can't believe I'm going to come on here. I might have to bet against Vegas again. I don't know how you guys feel about this series. It was like kiss of death last year when I said Vegas, no chance they're beating Edmonton in round 2, and then you guys win the Stanley Cup. But there's a lot of close calls. Like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way this time.
I have to ask you this before we get specifically into series. I was not of the opinion as a Golden Knights fan that the better path was through Dallas, but it sure seemed like they had the game set to go into mine last night, that they had no problem with going to Dallas and didn't want to face Edmonton. And then I thought the Kings thought the same thing, giving up 3 straight goals to Blackhawks on 3 shots to open. What am I missing here? I would much rather go to Edmonton in a series than have to go to Dallas. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I think we love narratives in the media in general. I don't know if teams are pinpointing who they want to play, because yeah, that was wild last night. Like, for a second, it felt like Edmonton was going to be, pinpointed for this, and then like a change last minute. So like, I think we read too much into that in sports in general. But I think what I could tell you about the Western Conference specifically, you can make a legitimate case, and I'm including Nashville because quite frankly, I think I'm on that upset. The Preds have been hot for like 35 games. You can make a legitimate case for all eight of those teams to go not only win a round, but go really, really far. It's like a crazy year, I find.
No question about it. With the Dallas Stars, though, like I just keep thinking because we talked about it earlier. I know that the Golden Knights did sweep the Stars in the regular season series. They obviously had success against them in the playoffs last year to ultimately get to where they went on their path to win a Stanley Cup last year. But I feel like there's a redemption factor. There's a Pete DeBoer factor there. There is this Stars team has just been one of the more consistent and best in the league right now. You look at the odds board for them to win it all, plus 850. They're right there among the leaders in this category. I mean, I think that the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be great. I think that'll be a competitive series, but I definitely have a lot of fear for Vegas because we also don't know like how healthy Mark Stone is going to be out there. There's a lot of question marks, I feel.
Oh, he's 100%. You didn't hear in the media the last couple of days. This guy just pops up at playoff time 3 years in a row. I don't doubt it. Mark Stone's a warrior. I'm not throwing shade at him, but I think this is the way I would break down this series. And I think you're bang on with those points. I think it's important to stress. You throw everything you see in the regular season out the window. On top of that, I think the last time Vegas played Dallas, it was like before Christmas. So all three of those games happened before Christmas. The Stars went on an impeccable run. I love the revenge narrative with Pete DeBoer. To me, I think the biggest reason why I'm siding with Dallas or why I will bet Dallas in this series is the goaltending. Obviously, Adin Hill was the big conversation last year. Ignites that team on that run against Edmonton. I just don't know how much faith I have in either Adin Hill right now, the way he's played since he came back from his latest setback, or Logan Thompson, who I think is going to play at some point in this series, as opposed to Jake Oettinger. But Mike, we've talked about this a lot. Jake Oettinger has just had a weird, weird season where he just can't get on track. But the last little while, slowly but surely, he is rounding into form. And that's why I give Dallas the edge in this series.
I don't know. I don't know if he's good enough. I say this every year, and I say it about Ben Bishop, and all these guys come in for 2 or 3 years and they're top three in the league for Dallas, and then it's over. I don't know if Oettinger's good enough. I don't think Georgiev is good enough. Let me ask you this question. I don't normally make a future bet when we get to the playoffs. I try to make mine preseason and then at the All-Star break. But I'm looking at Winnipeg at 18-1. They're going to have home ice, and they dominated Colorado in this series. I know they would get the winner of Vegas or Dallas in the second round, but that seems like when you have the Vezina winner, when you've got the best goalie in the world and you can roll out four lines, the 18-1 seems like a pretty decent price to me.
I think that's a great price. And I think you talk about gamers, you talk about Winnipeg, you talk about defense, like it's the ultimate firepower versus defense. And it's funny you say that because that's my sort of sidebar story in this series is goaltending. Obviously with Hellebuck, he's going to win the Vezina trophy, but it's more about Alexander Georgiev. Can he stop the puck? But you look at that Winnipeg roster. I love what they did at the trade deadline. Sean Monahan, Tyler Toffoli. They got the back end spearheaded by Josh Morrissey. So yeah, I think that's a really, really good look. Like obviously it's going to be a tough series, especially against Colorado, especially against MacKinnon and Rantanen and all those guys. But I think there is a pathway for Winnipeg to do some substantial damage. Not only in this series, but also for the majority of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like that's a team that I think from day one, people have been sleeping on because again, we were expecting them to take a step back. I mean, Blake Wheeler's gone and then the whole Dubois situation, but that trade has worked in their benefit too. Like Winnipeg's been on the back burner and I think it might almost help them here in the postseason.
Potential there for a really, really good series. I could see it going seven. I would like it to go seven. I know you wouldn't if you're taking a futures out on them, but I think that that's going to be one of the more fun sets as Nick Alberga joins us here on the Lombardi Line, host and director of Leafs Morning Take, the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well. And Nick, obviously you cover the Leafs extremely closely. It looks like a coin flip, great series there as well against the Boston Bruins, who I know that the Leafs exercised their round one demons last year, but they haven't exercised them against the Bruins specifically. And the Bruins are certainly very motivated after what happened in their first round early exit last year against Florida. How do you see this series shaken out?
Boston owns them. I mean, I always say that the Leafs will have to overcome themselves if they're going to have any success in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, you look at the players on paper, they're tremendous. Auston Matthews had 69 goals. I mean, first time in, what, 26 years since somebody got, close to 70 at least. I think when you look specifically at this series, it's going to come up to a matchup game, obviously up the middle. I mean, Krejci and Bergeron are no longer there. It's Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha. I mean, with all due respect to those guys, that's a matchup game you have to win if you're the Maple Leafs. Goaltending is going to be a big story for me in that series. The 5.5 number, I think, is polarizing to start. I like the over from that perspective. But I think when you look at the Maple Leafs, push comes to shove. At some point in time, you have to exercise your demons. I think it's a long series. In fact, it's important to stress, fourth meeting in the first round since 2013. The previous three have all gone 7 games. So I would probably bank on that. I think it's a pick 'em.
You know, you say 5.5 polarizing. I think in the Capitals Rangers series, you might get to fives. The Caps don't score too many 5-on-5 goals. And I think Lindgren's been terrific since he got the job full time. I want to ask you this, Nick. Obviously, Stanley Cup's a whole different animal, and these buildings will all be rocking. So there's to that home ice part. But how important as a handicapper is the last change to you? Are there coaches in a playoff scenario that you give more value to having the last change in the home games? And I would just throw out like a John Cooper to you.
Yeah, it all comes down to coaching. You put your players in the best opportunity to produce. I think you catch guys tired when they can't make a change. Like, all that impacts it. Especially when you look at the New York Rangers or Artemi Panarin, the year he's had. And certainly, I think you look at the depth. I mean, I know a lot of people are making, plus minus a big conversation when it comes to the Washington Capitals. But Spencer Carberry did a really, really good job. So I think home ice specifically in a series like this could be crucial and monumental. And you look at the New York Rangers, I mean, there's a lot of value, I think, in this team. But I think in general in this series, like you mentioned it, you hit the nail on the head. That would scare the hell out of me if I'm the New York Rangers. Charlie Lindgren, like every year you guys saw it in Vegas, like why can't Lindgren be that guy who leads this team on an improbable run, especially when you have greatness in the form of Alexander Ovechkin. Everybody's sleeping on you. And oh yeah, the New York Rangers won the President's Trophy. So I think this series could be closer than people expect. And I'm right there with you. I have it labeled as an under series because let's not forget who's at the other side of the rink, and that's Igor Shesterkin, right?
Yeah.
I did not expect you to say that you thought it would be closer than people think. So that is very, very interesting.
Oh, I definitely do.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. This Washington team they won every game. They had a win down the stretch, and they didn't do it with much margin. They did it by keeping the opponent under two. They scored in spots with Ovechkin. They took advantage. I think they're very dangerous here if New York gets behind.
President's Trophy curse. Yeah. Don't forget about that, right? Look at Boston last year, the best regular season in history, and they blew a 3-1 lead. So never say never, Stormy.
Hey, real quick, Nick, you only got 20 seconds. Is Jim Montgomery going to be able to go all Mark Swayman, all Mark Swayman? Is he going to be able to do it this year?
If he does that, he could lose his job. I think it's quite clear it's Swayman's crease. It should be his crease because Linus Allmark's going to get dealt in the offseason. Maybe at the Sphere. You never know.
Nick, you're awesome. Best of luck with all your bets. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nicky.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Nick Alberga. Follow him on X at the Golden Muzzy. And again, make sure you check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as well as Leafs Morning Take. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we got a little UFL in store as well as Mike's bets for the day. We'll be right back.
Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament that wraps up tonight through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use the code VSIN because new customers that do bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. And rumor has it, we have a new animation intro for Does Palm Have a Qualm? Roll it.
Some bets just don't sit right with Mike Palm.
You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
Are you considering a bet that would make him sick?
I'm going to throw up.
Don't throw up.
It's time to ask Mike, would Palm have a qualm?
I like like the emoji throwing up. That's pretty ingenious there. All right, the first one from some of our Twitter submissions that have come through. Thank you for those of you who have responded to the tweet. This one from Zach at Z_Daskalov13. I hope I said that right. Probably not, though. The Steelers to win the AFC North Division, +850 is the price. Mr. Palm, do you have a qualm?
I do have a qualm because I think they have to overcome three different teams here in this division. One of whom I'm very high on in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is going to take the biggest step forward of all the teams. But in order for the Steelers to win the division, they have to overcome Cincinnati. They have to overcome the number one seed last year in Baltimore. And oh, by the way, a Cleveland team whose defense was pretty darn good when they played at home. If they can figure out this Rome home split for their defense, I think there's an issue there. I think it's just too tough of a division and it's too much to ask for them to win it outright.
I think it's going to be the best division, potentially, like competition-wise, in the league right now.
Better is the best in the NFC, the North? Are the two Norths the really fun divisions?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I do, too.
Let's keep this rolling. From Jared, our next tweet, VGK. This is just cruel. The Vegas Golden Knights, defending Stanley Cup champions. Would Palm have a qualm with them getting swept in the first round against Dallas?
They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. I think that's a long ass to think that they're going to get swept. I know Nicky Alberger talked about Aiden Hill. He still had the top save percentage in the NHL this year for those goalies that qualified. And you're bringing your whole team back. I don't know if Pietrangelo, is he going to be back for the first game? We know Stone's going to be back. They're putting this illegal salary cap team back on the ice because there's no salary cap in the playoffs. I don't know that Dallas can be consistent enough for four games to sweep. I have a qualm. I would need about double that price to bet this, close to 14 or 15 to 1.
I know you had your doubts about Jake Oettinger, but can't he like go into playoff god mode just like Andrei Vasilevsky can every now and then through a series?
Well, he hasn't done it yet, right? Sure. So he got beat by the Knights last year. I know we were on vacation in New York trying to find this game, you know, right? Nobody in New York was dying to show the Knights and the Knights and Stars, right? Yeah. So we're like trying to find a restaurant where the games were on while we were in New York City for a week. He just hasn't done it. And I keep thinking he's going to emerge as the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. But this is like the third straight year I've felt this, and it hasn't happened yet.
So +750, not worthwhile.
Not
Palm
enough.
Does have a qualm. Mm-hmm. This next one is interesting because you and Nick Alberga were on the program earlier hyping up the Caps as making that series against the Rangers a little bit closer. Can you take the Caps going deeper? Bill Moore tweeted his submission. The Caps are a human lock to hoist the cup. Ovi second. You get the little throw up emoji there. 150-1 for the Caps to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think the statement human lock is a bit hyperbolic. I don't mind this, though, because I think they're going to make this series more competitive than people think. I would prefer, I'm not going to say I have a qualm. I would prefer to bet this series to take them either +2.5 or +1.5 games, or look for spots to isolate them, maybe game three at home. But I say not so fast on people who think the Rangers are just going to roll through the Capitals.
It's just hard when you look at a goal differential in the minus 30s. It's hard to stomach.
That was Kemper, too. Kemper was a big part of that. And so I say, you know, Stormy, of the four major sports, the Stanley Cup's the most unpredictable playoff format.
Yeah, and they call it the hardest trophy in sports to win for
16.
A reason.
Take 16.
Ron, see, I'm struggling with these names, guys. I apologize in advance. Ron Mysetic? R. Mysetic on X, he says, does Palm have a qualm with the Pittsburgh Pirates to win the National League at 100-1 or the World Series at 200-1?
Yeah, I do. I think that's too short. I will say the NL Central is very interesting. The only team I could tell you I totally discount at this point is the Cardinals. I don't think they did enough with their pitching staff. I don't think their lineup is good enough. The third baseman is a shell of what he was. I know he's won all the gold gloves, but he's just not hitting the ball. He's making too many key outs. Interesting. Cubs have a lot of upside. The Brewers have played fantastic. I was a fade the Brewers person to begin with, and I still think the Reds are an interesting choice. It'll be a competitive division. Can the Pirates beat the Dodgers or the Braves in a series in the playoffs or both? I don't think so.
That's a wrap for all of our submissions on Twitter, but please keep these coming every single week. Tweet at us any of these Would Palm Have a Qualm ideas. I'm going to keep it rolling with some from our producers here. The Knicks to sweep the 76ers, 14-1. Would Palm have a qualm?
Yes. Too short. I actually think the 76ers are probably going to win this series. I love Thibodeau. Tibbs is a great coach. Maybe he's top three in my book in the modern NBA. But with Embiid back, that's a whole different team. They get the benefit of the seeding and the way this works out. To Noop's point, I mean, the winner of this probably gets Indiana with Giannis being out. So, I mean, the winner of this likely a path to the finals here and a shot at the Celtics. I think this is going to be a good series. Depending on where you look at this, either team favored. You know, there's a wide variance in the prices. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with future book.
Sure. And I know at least initially on DraftKings when this came out, the 76ers were an even bigger favorite than they are now at just -115 because that did get bet the other way. And we're seeing largely -110 both ways right now in this series. How about the Nuggets and Lakers? I know that this is a very hefty price. -310 for the Denver Nuggets just to beat the Lakers. No series spread involved, no exact price, just -310. Do you have a qualm laying it with Denver?
No. I would parlay it with other series that I like because I don't want to lose $3
parlay
to
it
one.
Parlay it with the Canes.
$3 to one. You could parlay
just keep it going,
You could parlay it with the Canes. I'm trying to think what other series I would isolate it with in the NHL. They're tough. They're really tough, right? Yeah. I think the Kings, I think Nashville will give them a series.
NBA series, what would Boston be favored? Because you could throw that one in as well for the first round. Everybody expects them. Would that even be worth it to throw into the parlay?
That'd be very heavy. Okay, let's parlay it with the Kings.
All right. I like it. The Royals to win the AL. We were talking about Kansas City earlier.
I bet them to win the division. To win the American League. So what, as it shapes up now, like the Yankees have played very well. Probably you could say the Guardians have been the second best team, but they lost Bieber. I don't have a qualm with this. I think this team has a lot of upside. You can go out there and hit the ball like the way they're doing. I think Singer has upside as a starter. Why not take a shot? What's the price? 35-1?
Yep.
No qualm.
So yesterday, Michael and I on the program were reviewing some of the statements from Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show this week. A lot of them serious, one of them not whatsoever, which was about the fact that he doesn't like coffee. You come in here every Friday with a coffee that looks like it is pure milk and has a ton of whipped cream on it. Would Palm have a qualm with just a hot black coffee?
Couldn't do it. Couldn't stomach it. I have a huge qualm with it. I take a little coffee with my sugar and cream. Okay. Seriously, that's the way I have to have things sweet. I typically like things very sweet.
I'm with you. Another thing that I learned about Mr. Bill Belichick, not only does he not like coffee, he likes his steak well done. Do you have a qualm with a well-done steak?
All the chefs do, right? All the great chefs said you're only supposed to cook it a little bit. I tell you, I order my steak medium. I could eat a well-done steak more than I could eat a rare one, though. I can't.
Really?
I can't eat one just sopping in blood.
See, yeah, like,
there's some places I've gone, they're very good, and I like the prime rib, but they say we don't cook it other than medium rare. And then I at least they tell you.
Yeah.
Because you order it medium, and then they cook it medium rare, and they say, well, we don't cook it. At least they tell you up front.
Do you have a qualm with medium rare?
No, I don't have a qualm with it. I have a qualm with rare. And I guess I could say, I don't know, you're taking all the flavor out of it. Well done, in my opinion.
I'm a medium rare gal, medium rare plus. That's the way that I do it.
Medium rare plus.
Yes.
Is that a category?
Oh, yeah. You throw the pluses in there. It means you get a little in between.
Does medium rare plus go on which side?
In between medium rare and rare.
Oh, okay. So it's more on the rare side.
Correct. Yes.
Interesting.
So
if I said medium well plus, would that be more on the well side?
If you said medium well?
Well plus.
It would be going up. It'd be more on the medium side.
Okay.
So the plus is like bumping you up.
I would like that. Medium well plus would be all right.
There you go. See, we're just learning
new things
every day.
A lot from Stormy.
My husband and I went to Barry's with his mother one day, and she got a filet well done. They had to butterfly it to make it well done. I was like, I love you, Vicky. What are we doing right now?
They don't like it. It's offensive.
Not, we can't be
Ask
doing
for
this.
Ketchup, too.
I know that qualm doesn't rhyme with Stormy, but Stormy has a qualm as well. Great show. This was a lot of fun. Good luck with your bets, everybody, today. Enjoy the play-in, and we'll see you next week.